Welcome to The Daily Degenerate, the ultimate sports and entertainment podcast for your busy life. My name is Cohen Hughes, co-host and producer, and I'm joined by Los Angeles' very own Maddie Goldberg. We appreciate you listening and hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everybody, to number 59 of the Daily Degenerate Podcast. I'm Maddie Goldberg in freezing cold Los Angeles. It's freezing here, dude. It's almost 40, and I'm joined by this guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Maddie loves my introduction, so for the 59th consecutive time, I will do it. I do like saying it. It is kind of pump up my ego a little bit.
You know it.
Ladies and gentlemen, ghouls and goblins, freaks and geeks, I am the Michael Rappaport of the South. I am the professional devil's advocate. Hell, I am podcast Poppy. And Maddie's favorite, I am the Johnny Sins of podcasting. Maddie Goldberg, I am joined by you on the Skype studios. Not officially sponsored by Skype, of course not. We're not rich enough for that. I am in Smyrna, Georgia. It's kind of rainy. It's like that misty, kind of like foggy
What's
rain.
What's the temperature, like 50?
It's probably like right in the 50s somewhere. It was kind of chilly.
It's warmer there than it is here.
Yeah, it is. Let's see.
We're at 45.
52.
Yeah, we're going to get down to 42 tonight.
What is it, windy over there or something, or is it just cold in the air?
It's not windy. It's just been it's been a cold winter. Usually when I live out – like when I lived on the East Coast, by January I'd be counting the days to like mid-March. Never, I've lived out here 7-8 years, never ever counted like until like spring. I'm like counting the days because it's been brutal. It's going to get down, it's 46 now, and it's going to get down to 42.
What is this, the fucking Matty G weather podcast? Shut the fuck up, dude.
I like
Nobody wants to hear about your fucking long johns and your pajamas
freezing.
Having to go outside to let the dogs out and poop.
I did walk the
and
dog.
Eat
it was
and
cold.
Step in the grass, and nobody gives a fuck about the cold L.A. weather.
I see you've been drinking at the Korean barbecue.
Matty Goldberg.
By the way.
You are intrigued of my Korean barbecue experience.
Before we get into Korean barbecue, you're wearing a Falcons shirt. Okay. How many Falcons shirts do you own?
God, probably just in terms of T-shirts.
Yeah.
Anywhere from 10 to 15.
Whoa.
I own about 5-6 jerseys. And
Damn.
Then a few hoodies, a few pair of jogging pants, a pair of gym shorts, you know. I don't have that. I'm not that. White dad that goes to Dick's Sporting Goods and buys the Falcons shoes, the Falcons visor.
What are you talking
Falcons
about?
Necklace.
You got 14 T-shirts.
Yeah, but I can't wear them all at once. I may wear 2 Falcons-related articles at once.
Do you sometimes forget you're a Falcons fan?
These days, yes.
Well, I guess you should get into the dog days of sports, the toughest month, which is February after the Super Bowl.
We actually haven't had a bad month. We'll get
we were
into
saved
AAF
by the
later.
Alliance.
Yeah, the Alliance, no matter how you felt about it, we'll get into that later. Me and Maddie
well,
have
it sucks
disagreeing
for you
opinions.
Because your two best teams lost.
Yeah, they did. I will say this, though. The Sunday games were a little bit better to me than the Saturday night games.
Well, Sunday was great for me because I bet against Mike Singletary.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
You know what's amazing about Mike Singletary? It's like I'm like, there's no way he got better as a coach. You know you're a bad coach when it's like the other team is punting in the end zone, like the deepest they can punt, and you get a roughing the punter.
Like, all you got to do is have some.
When you see like 4 or 5 penalties by a team like that, you're just like, okay, that's bad coaching. Because like with Belichick, you don't see that because guys never play again. They don't make mistakes because they know they never step on the field ever again.
And I mean, I hope to God what I'm about to say is not true.
What?
Is there that big of a disparity in pro sports between the good coaches and the bad coaches? What do you spend your practice time on? Like we know that
Absolutely.
Bill Belichick and the serious coaches in the league, like I mean, hell, even Mike Tomlin. What do you spend your practice time on? Do you spend it out there taking Instagram photos and filming the workout, or
listen?
Are you actually running real time late in drills.
I was watching an old interview of Marcellus Bennett about about Belichick. So they're like, they asked Bennett, like, give me some example of like Belichick, like Jedi tricks where you're like, what the fuck? He's like, we're all like sleeping in a meeting. And he says, we're playing Buffalo. He goes, listen, the Buffalo punter is not good catching the ball when it drizzles. He's going to drop the ball. And I want you guys to be aware of that. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, lo and behold, not thinking a damn thing about it.
Yeah, he goes, that the game, what happened? The punter dropped the ball. And he goes, that was just fucking crazy. And they're like, well, did you guys execute things right? They're like, no, but he still dropped the damn ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, if you look at, like, take, like, Nathan Peterman. He started, what, 3 games this season?
I thought it was more than that. That was 4 or 5.
And he was able enough to start like 2 or 3 games this year. So he's in the top 30 of quarterbacks. But, I mean, what's the difference between him and Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? I mean, or Pat Mahomes?
Preparation, I mean, and confidence. They can all make the same throws. Their arm power is close to the same.
I mean, you know, Peterman can't do things Mahomes can do, but I'm just saying the difference between a good coach and a bad coach, or a good quarterback and a bad quarterback, like, you can be in the league and suck at your job and still start or be a head coach. I mean, you're calling for Dan Quinn. You can make it to the Super Bowl and almost win it, and you think Dan Quinn is the worst fucking coach alive.
He's one of them.
So what do you want to talk about? Because we didn't even, like, we want to talk about Korean barbecue real fast.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I want to know what the fuck your fat face eats.
All right. So today there's this place.
All you can eat.
A shout out to Iron Age Korean barbecue in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Not owned by Ironhead Hayward. No. The late, great Craig Ironhead Hayward.
Don't know who the hell that is. I know your old ass does. But
His son is Hayward on the Steelers. But Ironhead Hayward, he was actually on the Falcons.
Really?
He was a fullback running back. He went to Pitt. He played on the Saints, Falcons, and Bears, I think. He might have played on the Falcons. Definitely Bears and Saints. He died of a brain tumor. Very great running back in college. Decent pro running back. Very funny commercials. Very sad death.
Very.
His son is in the NFL.
Cam Hayward. So, yeah. We go to this place, and you know how the Korean barbecue works. You know that they bring you raw meat, and there's a grill in the middle of the table. And you just, for lack of a better term, you throw your meat on the grill. Ha ha ha.
So wait, so they let you grill your own meat?
Yes, you have to. They bring you, they ask you, what do you want? So our first meat was Iron Age steak, which is like the house sirloin, whatever their little specialty.
Does it taste like an American steak, or is it like
Yeah. It pretty much does. They have like some little garlic, zingy little flavors, little oils
in.
And of course, it's like kind of Korean based, I'm sure, but I'm sure they base
same stuff
the
is
meat
what we
off of like American taste, you know, because like we're all there's not many Koreans that probably go there.
So how many? Just two other guys with you?
Yeah, two other guys with me. You sit at a table. We told them, hey, bring out the steak. And,
so what is that? What is all you can eat? How much does that cost?
$23
a person.
A person.
Okay.
And you can just like what we did tonight is we just literally all three ate the same thing. Like we would say, hey, bring us Iron Age steak, grill it, eat some rice, eat a little bit of kimchi, eat a little bit of the little pickled onions and stuff. You know, the Korean little odd finger food. And then we'd be like, hey, we want the spicy pork bulgogi, which is like a thin ribbon cut steak. And we would get that, grill it, eat it, and be like, hey, we want the lemon chicken. We want the shrimp. We want the
squid. How many dishes did you have?
We were right at like anywhere from 7 to 9 plates of meat.
Fuck.
Which is not like an excessive amount. It's big for normal people, you know, but our degenerate asses who will go in there after work. Because I didn't eat a damn thing all day in preparation for Iron Age,
And how many beers did you have?
I had 3 shots of hot sake. Because even though like the hot sake like doesn't taste very good, like it tastes like someone like poured like a gallon of water.
I like Brazilian steak bars.
Over some bread.
Thing.
Oh no, those are delicious. Like the sake feels like someone like poured like vodka and water over like just a loaf of bread and then put it into a block and made you take it as a shot. Like it tastes like bread and like hot water.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's kind of like one of those things, like it's like a good, like not good thing, you know? Like it's one of those things, like onions. Like they don't taste good, but you still kind of like them anyway, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So I had the three shots of hot sake, and then I had a beer, Korean beer. I always try to get like the little house beer wherever I go. It was a good time. I'm pretty full. I'm not like
And now you're going to shit your brains out in the morning?
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be a block in the morning. It's going to be a painful baby passing.
Yeah.
But no, shout out to Iron Age in Kennesaw. Maddie said he's never been to Korean barbecue before.
How far do you live from it?
I used to live in Kennesaw, but now from Smyrna, it's about I don't know. I got there in like 15 minutes today, which it was very lightly raining and there was no traffic on the road, so I'm kind of book it.
It's about 7 miles, 7-8 miles.
Yeah. So
I might do one for my birthday.
The Brazilian ones are really good. There's one in Atlanta called Fogo de Chão, which is pretty high. It's like $75 a person.
Yeah, that's.
But dude, like,
I couldn't really have people. I can't have like a birthday like that. You got to do like $25.
You feel bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, there's one that's like that, and I'm pretty sure like the lunch price is cheaper, and that's what like Iron Age does too. You know, like they'll offer like a limited menu at lunch. Like there's no Iron Age steak. There's no like.
You want the best.
I'll go pay the extra $7 at dinner.
And, get the best, bro.
Get the best stuff.
Yeah.
The best of us. How's
everything else going? Your dick's working?
Yeah. Last time I checked.
How's Johnny Sins doing?
He's doing good. I hadn't watched any of his videos in the past probably 2 weeks. I need to get back on that train. Maybe tonight.
Yeah, get back on the Johnny Sins world.
I might actually go find the porn awards that you were telling Pimlin about.
Well, that's on Showtime. Tonight. They're so ridiculous. I mean, they're not really.
What awards
really
they
sexy.
Win? Best blowjob of the year?
Best there was cream the best pie blowjob. Of the year? I don't know about best cream pie,
best
but
anal
but
prolapse of the year.
The best blowjob was just hysterical because the girl thanked the director for believing in her, and I was like, I mean, it's just like the Oscars.
Isn't that like
the Grammys?
Isn't that like the insult? Like, yeah, I believe you can suck this dick. I bet you're a great cocksucker.
Yeah.
Isn't that like insult?
You got more personality after a Brazilian steak bar. I gotta tell you that.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I got so much energy. Literally, I just ate this rice and
meats. That's sake. You should take sake before every show.
I wouldn't mind hot sake. Like it's one of those things. Like it's like vinegar. Like the flavor of vinegar. Like it's not.
But it feels great.
It's not good. But
I smoked a little J before we started, but not. I didn't eat any chocolate. When I eat chocolate, I suck. But when I smoke a little J, I'm relaxed.
Damn, I haven't smoked weed at all today, honestly.
What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the NBA? You want to talk about Duke beating Virginia? You want to talk about that block by Zion Williamson? You want to talk about baseball players showing up tomorrow? You want to talk about baseball players not signing?
Nah, let's go ahead and get to the AAF because I am chomping at the bit to give you some advanced statistics.
Did you like the old ball coach? See, you weren't.
So Steve Spurrier, HBC.
I don't
Ed
think
Ball
you were
coach,
around for when he was the Florida coach.
No, I was only South Carolina days.
Florida was amazing with him. They were always in the top five, always in the top ten. He did win the national title. He had this great games against Florida State, like legendary games against Florida State. Stunk at the Redskins.
What
but
you mean, Free Shoes University?
Yeah, he just wanted to play golf. You know, he didn't really want to coach the Redskins, but Florida was perfect. And you know, he's dialing up cool plays
and he's using this as more of a what do you call it? Like a business trip. On his staff he has a lot of his former players. And
he's like a face.
He's the face of the organization. He's going to be the gateway for a lot of these guys to get coaching jobs elsewhere, and he's helping usher in some
exactly.
of his cronies.
And he's great. He's such a great personality.
Yeah, I love him to death. He's maybe outside of Bill Belichick, Bruce Arians, and a few other guys that are probably slipping my mind right now, like Wade Phillips maybe, he might be one of the best classical football minds that we still have on this earth.
Well, he's a great offensive mind. He opens up the playbook to fun plays. Mm-hmm. The first touchdown was the Philly Express. The more you can say about him. So what were the statistics you wanted to say? Because I asked you said the football was pretty bad. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was minor league.
Yeah,
it was
maybe
like
it's one of those things like it's kind of
it's triple A
punchline at this time. Yeah, so we're kind of laughing at it. We're kind of getting used to a inferior product and it's going to be okay.
But the ratings killed it.
The ratings were good. It actually beat the NBA on overnight ratings.
Which was Houston, Oklahoma City, which is a damn big game. I watched the primetime game over that. I didn't watch the NBA that night.
Yeah, no. I had on my two TVs. One of them was on, like, the news or something, and the other one was on the AAF. I was keeping track of that game between the Thunder and who'd you say?
Yeah. It was Oklahoma City. Yeah, I know Thunder, it was, like, Oklahoma the biggest Thunder. Comeback of all time.
Yeah, it was a huge comeback. Fucking every player had 30 points. Like, it was a crazy game, and the AAF still beat it on week one.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a good sign for the league.
Yeah. I mean, I know the first week it's always going to do really good. The XFL did great the first week, and then it dropped like 80%. So that could happen here.
What was your take on like inside the stadium? Because I know Orlando looked decent.
The stadiums were shit.
San Antonio looked really good, especially like on the inside. The Alamo Dome looked good.
I mean, there were, you know, the Alamo Dome probably had the biggest crowd. Arizona had nobody.
No, hell no.
I didn't watch much of the other game at 1 o'clock on Sunday, but you know, it's all about the television ratings, you know. Yeah, that's all they really care about. The TV ratings are most important. And for CBS, like, Saturday night's the worst night to get ratings. So if they can get ratings on a Saturday night, you know, with this, they're happy as hell. And
I stayed at home and watched. I didn't go anywhere Saturday night. I'd gotten off work early. And I had practically told myself, hey, sit down and watch the games.
I did watch a lot of the Birmingham game because I bet on against Mike Singletary. So Sunday, and that was empty. The Alabama was empty. And it looked kind of like the crowd was like one of the early bowl games.
And Legion Field is just an absolute rundown fucking mess.
Yeah.
I hate that stadium.
Where you get like East Carolina versus
Tulane. Don't mix words.
Exactly. Tulane Bowl.
Yeah.
You get like that scattered kind of
crowd. The first maybe 6-7 rows are filled, and then a few people in the top kind of sitting away from everybody else, and that's it.
Exactly. So, but the ratings on TV, what matters. It was fun to watch guys that failed in the NFL, like Trent Richardson, some of the quarterbacks, everybody was talking about how bad the Jets draft because – Hackenberg was a disgrace.
Looked awful, dude.
Was a disgrace. And the Jets drafted him in the second round. The second round. I mean,
those poor Jets.
How bad is Mettenberger that he can't even start over Hackenberg?
I would have thrown Zach Mettenberger in there in the third drive.
They made a quarterback change with my San Diego Fleet, which was awful. Mike Martz, who I can't stand. There's just something smug about him that I don't like.
Smarmy.
He's very smarmy, and he just looked like he wasn't really into it or prepared. They got smoke when they were the favorite. All four home teams won. All four home teams covered. If you bet on all four home teams in a parlay, congratulations.
Hell, that was your strategy, home dogs.
I gave it a B- the whole weekend. I gave it a B-. I love football. And if you're betting on something, like, for the most part of the four major sports, like, if it's single A, rookie league, college, high school, if I have money on it, I'm fucking, like, it's...
Well, I'll be honest with you. I would rather put money on the AAF or the MLS or any one of these little gimmicky little copycat leagues than I would AAA baseball or Russian interleague soccer at 2 a.m., you know? Like, this at least has a feeling. Yeah, horse race. I hate betting on that shit, dude.
You can get a feel of this. You really can get a feel.
And if this has a little shred of legitimacy, at least, you know?
And if you bet against Mike Singletary, you will make some money.
Mm-hmm. So let's go through some scores. The first game in AAF history was between the Orlando Apollos, who were at home, against my Atlanta Legends. My Atlanta Legends got absolutely murdered.
Yes.
And let me give you a little bit of backstory because I had just now kind of gotten my head around the whole story. I don't know any specifics, but just the timeline of how shit has worked out.
Yeah.
So apparently around last Wednesday or Thursday, kind of late in the week, I guess, mid to late in the week, the Atlanta Legends had informed former offensive coordinator Michael Vick that he would no longer be the offensive coordinator because he had just missed every day of practice that week. Because
why did he miss practice?
He was doing prior broadcasting obligations with CBS Sports and their football show.
That's hysterical.
It is pretty funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and also late last week, after they had assessed all the film from the preseason game, they had actually made a very surprised decision, especially to me, which is honestly just common sense. But they decided for some reason to go with Matt Sims at quarterback, except for over Aaron Murray, which was absolutely the wrong decision, if you ask me. They didn't even put Aaron Murray.
Is that
in
just
until the
even that because
drive.
He's a hometown guy?
I don't know if it's because he's a hometown guy. I don't know if it's because he's typically on the Falcons roster from time to time, and they're trying to give him some farm experience, and they're trying to, you know, establish that relationship by, hey, we're going to play your third stringer. Just make sure you draft him back up, you know, like make our little farm system look good, all that. I honestly would have never, ever started Matt Sims in the first place. I know that sounds kind of short-sighted, but Aaron Murray just has loads more potential than him. And Aaron Murray's a hometown kid too. He went to the University of Georgia, so it's not.
Well, that's
like
what I was thinking. Maybe you want to see the hometown kid.
I would have rather seen Aaron Murray, even non-biased.
See, I didn't get that game. I got it
because you were on the West Coast. There were probably fucking seven states that even got this game, and Florida and Georgia were one of them. Even north on the East Coast was the West Coast game, and everything west of, I think even fucking Birmingham, Alabama got the Western Hemisphere game. But the Atlanta Legends drop a very, 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 very ugly game to the Orlando Apollos and head ball coach Steve Spurrier.
What was the final score?
44-6.
40-6.
And what's even worse about that game is that the Atlanta Legends scored the first points in AAF history with a Youngway Koo field goal.
The former great Charger kicker.
The Charger legend.
Legend.
It was good to see CBS had the game, and it looked really nice with the graphics and everything. And Kurt Warner, we actually got a decent commentator.
Did he do the game, or he just did the pregame?
God, I don't know. See, because you can't.
How
see
much do you think he gets paid for that?
Let's say that he just did the pregame.
Yeah.
God, I'm real bad with
$1 million a week.
Nah, can't do that.
500,000.
Nah, I was thinking maybe closer to even like 75K. You know,
and
because
the thing
like,
about
this
it
is
too
the money is, league. This is the little Cohen, brother.
The thing about it too is this: is his job is basically like whether the football is good or bad, he just got to sell it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're just gonna come on there and just sell how good it is, and like he's got the ultimate story. I mean, he was a grocery bagger drafted by the Packers. He went to the Arena Football League, the European Football League.
Canadian Football League, NFL Europe, played for the
So he's
Berlin,
a success
Argonauts
story of one of these leagues. Mm-hmm. So he's a perfect guy. They had the
they
the first guy saw.
They
and he told that story.
Mm-hmm. That was their biggest selling point for this league.
Yeah. And he's just the guy everybody loves. Like, you can't hate Kurt Warner.
No, there's no reason to, honestly. He always works hard. Great story. Great
good
quarterback.
Good
guy. Love him to death. So your San Diego Fleet lost on Saturday night as well, which was odd. They played these games at the same time. I guess they didn't have enough money to buy separate TV blocks. They just had to buy the one on Friday night. And then
like Sunday, they had two different networks.
Night. Yeah.
I'm not going to be crazy enough to get a satellite dish to get the other game that I can't see.
Nah, and I mean, I played the game that I didn't get, the Commanders and Fleet game. I played that on my phone while I played the CBS over the antenna.
So you're watching the game on your phone, or are you doing the app?
I hadn't even downloaded the app yet.
Because I heard the app's pretty cool.
Apparently, you can play fantasy football on there. You can get you can't bet on there, but you can get the lines on there. You can follow live stats, and unless they change something in the past week, you can actually broadcast the games on there too. But I
which is cool.
But I just went to Reddit and did it,
which is really cool too. Because when the XFL was a failure, they could have got better ratings if gambling was more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gambling is so accessible now to when I was the XFL. I don't even know how old I was back then, but I was probably 21, 22. And, you know, you had to go to Vegas to gamble. I don't think bookies were taking XFL lines. No. Like, if you have any offshore account or you have any sort of, you know, there's software bookies give you to make your bets online. Like, the XFL is there. Mm-hmm. I mean, these games are easily, gambled.
Oh, I found them in 2 seconds. I found the AAF games in 2 seconds.
And that's why they're rated high. I mean, it was easy. I made some money. I bet on 2 games. I won them both. So, I mean, good start so far. I'm sure we'll get harder.
Yeah, but, definitely.
I think a lot of people made the mistakes betting on the overs.
I did. For the Atlanta game, the over did not hit. It missed by 3 points. But I had it parlayed with Atlanta plus 7.5 anyway. So
the unders, were 3-1.
Team unders?
Well, yeah, combined unders were 3-1.
Yeah. There you
go. So if you bet on the under, if you bet on all 4 of the unders, you went 3-1.
Nice.
Just saying. So
your San Diego Fleet lost 15-6.
Yep.
Sunday at 4, the Birmingham Iron and Trent Richardson ran over the Memphis Express in the worst game of the weekend, 26-0. And the Arizona Hotshots in the night game beat my other Western Division, I don't even know what they're called, conference, whatever.
And that was a high-scoring game.
38-22. That was, in my opinion, the best game of the weekend.
It was the best, the most skilled, like, best offensive, like, cohesion, rhythm. A lot of these games didn't have rhythm. Like Birmingham, who did they play? Memphis. They didn't have any offensive rhythm. Neither team.
At all.
Even though Trent Richards had 2 touchdowns, he was awful.
Well, because he also got fucking 23 carries. The next
for closest, 60 yards.
The next closest guy in the AAF got 18.
Yeah, 23 carries for 60 yards, and he had a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like the 2-point conversions on everything.
Yep.
That the NFL should do. I like the Sky Cam thing.
The Sky Judge. I love
Sky Judge.
Because that's all you need to do is make us feel like we have some accountability on correcting what was the quote, egregious and obvious errors.
Yes.
So at least make us feel like there is some sort of recourse for that.
Now the biggest question is, are we spending too much time on the Alliance football when we have all this wonderful college basketball and pro basketball?
Well, let me get through the pro football focus. The most targeted receivers was Mikhail McKay from San Antonio with 11, Quentin Patton from Birmingham with 9, and Greg Ward Jr., college star, plays for San Antonio, got 7. Most receiving yards was Quentin Patton, Birmingham Iron, 107 yards. Rashad Ross also broke 100 yards with 103 yards for Arizona. Trent Richardson had 23 carries, like you said, 60 yards, 1 fumble. He actually had the most snaps out of any running back in the AAF this week.
He's a workhorse.
He is a workhorse. I would say I'm surprised to see him get this much work, not because it's Trent Richardson, but because it is week one.
Well, he also has experience. He's played in the NFL for 3 or 4 years.
He is probably one of the most decorated NFL players in this class of guys.
The most known.
Yeah. I know my man Matt Asiata for Salt Lake had a touchdown.
I know Matt. Yep. Vikings.
Yes. Other than that is about all I have for stats. It was a decent week. You kind of helped pull me out of the dark zone. But there are some game flow problems that I know they will fix.
Well, it is AAA.
Yeah, and it is AAA, so this is a very rigid period for my expectations to rise up and down based on what the week is looking like and who they're playing and what games we have going on.
Yeah.
It will get better. It was already pretty – I wouldn't say pretty good, but it was already a good weekend of football. it's enough football to keep me distracted from the fact that we have no NFL.
I give it.
You said B minus already.
Yeah, B minus.
So what is
six
that?
Six
like
and a half, 7 out of 10.
There you go.
7 out of 10.
I would feel very good giving it a 7 out of 10.
What do you give?
Based off all the optimistics that
we
saw.
What do you give it?
I'd probably say 7. 7's good. Honestly, 6.5, 7, just like you said, is honestly a pretty spot on rating to me.
So now there are people talking like we want to see Aaron Murray out there. Like,
the whole Matt Sims thing, whenever he was named a starter on the subreddit, everyone was hopefully confused. You know, like it was like, yeah. Oh, Matt Sims, we didn't know that he was going to win it. Da, 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 da. That's good for him, I guess. You know, da, 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 da.
And then he stunk.
And then the game started, and then I went and checked the game thread on Reddit, and everyone was like, okay, let's see Aaron Murray, please. You know, like everybody's like, ooh, okay.
Before you get excited about Aaron Murray, you might want to say, like, maybe he's so bad that he can't even win the job over.
Which in that case, we'll have to go with former Georgia Tech quarterback Justin Thomas, triple option threat extraordinaire.
Which is hysterical. Yeah. Now you want to talk about basketball today or baseball or?
I'll let you talk about college basketball for a second. I know Virginia
won
in North Carolina tonight.
I bet on Duke to beat Virginia. They won. Zion Williamson. Everybody saw that amazing block.
Ran about 15 feet to jump in the air to hit it by the fingertips, but send it.
Yeah, he's got to be the number one pick. Our buddy Mike Francesa said, "Don't take him number one." That he's not even in the top five. Mike Francesa is out of his mind.
Well, he's got to say that shit for the clicks, but I don't think that he is the stop-all, end-all, be-all, new LeBron James. He's the best by far and by land, and he's going to carry whatever franchise he goes to the promised land.
Yeah.
But he is the best prospect out of this draft, yes.
And I don't know what to think about this Virginia because, of course, they lost last year in the first round. And they had to play
Duke
Saturday.
They were my championship team in my bracket.
Okay, well, they had to play Duke on Saturday, and then on Monday they have to go on the road and play North Carolina, and they went in there and they took care of business. And you're just like, every time you want to be like, yeah, they're the same pretenders, they always are. They have these huge wins, and I think Duke is just so much better than everybody. I mean, I think Tennessee will give them a hell of a game, but I think Duke is, you know, probably going to win the national championship. But Virginia, you know, they always are. It's like this, you know, Villanova sucked in the tournament for a few years, and then they finally put it together. Mm-hmm. I don't think Virginia will beat Duke this year, but
see,
it was
let me
a nice
ask you
little
a question. We always give so much. We always give so much slack to these NFL coaches who are first time and second year coaches. In the NFL, whenever they lose a playoff game on the road, their first ever playoff game, why don't we give that much slack to college coaches
who it takes
a long time to figure it out in the craziest tournament known to man, March Madness?
Yeah, but like nobody's lost a first round game to a 16 seed.
Yeah.
Like no number one has lost. So it's been about 4 or 5 years where Virginia has been great in the regular season and then they never get past the Sweet 16. They very, very highly rarely make it out of the 32. So their track record, no matter how good they are in the ACC, which is the best conference in college basketball.
By far.
For them to lay an egg every year in the tournament, it's just odd. And I always like, well, maybe their system doesn't work in a tournament where if they're down, they can't come back.
Yeah.
But I think Tony Bennett's made some changes where they're more offensive. They're more offensive thinking. There's less concentration on defense.
And the offense runs more freely. It's not as much ball stopping.
Exactly.
Not as much half court only. It moves more. There's more transition, more movement.
So that's what's been going on. The NBA, I didn't really watch much, but that's your more thing.
So one piece of NBA notes that I discovered today is that the Knicks have, I think, beaten their longest losing streak in franchise history. It's 17 games in a row.
Jesus Christ.
No shit, dude. They are like 2-25 in their last 27
games. The crazy thing about them and what's really sad is like there is a lottery in the NBA. They could get like the fifth pick.
Next year it'll be up to fifth. Now it's only 1 through 3.
So they're protecting the top three?
Top three. Next year, they'll be protecting into the top five.
Okay.
Which I do like that they did that. They extended it to five teams. Because I hate these teams that think they can just tank and, oh, let's just get the first pick. Yeah, shows you right, you fucking idiot. Hope you're bad all year.
Look at Philadelphia. I mean, maybe.
And we don't know if they even still have it figured out yet. You know, like, who knows if their tank even worked.
Well, they're going all in on guys like Tobias
Harris, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're better than what they were, but
of course.
At the same time, they whiffed on Markel Fultz. But that wasn't a good draft.
They've whiffed on Nerlens Noel. They've whiffed on lots of these first round and first overall picks that they've had, you know?
Yeah.
But they're good. Now they're a playoff.
Yeah. No, they're definitely way above average now. But, I mean, who even knows if this tank of theirs will work?
And now I hear there's talk of Ben Simmons being tampered, you know, for the Lakers.
That's a non-story to me. He made a very offhanded and joking comment about asking Magic Johnson for tips about something. It's such a non-story. Even like the owner, or no, it was the I think it was the coach came out and said like
non-story.
Yeah. He was like, no, that's not even a thing. You know, like that was just a joke.
Yeah.
But other than that, I know the Hawks bought out Jeremy Lin today, who I watched. I actually watched his last game ever in Atlanta. I was at the game last night.
You think they'll do a 30-for-30 on that?
Yeah, I hope so. Maybe I'll get it.
Jeremy Lin's last game in Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta Hawks legend.
Your memory. How many points did he have?
I wouldn't even know. We left at the end of the third.
So he got bought out by what team?
The Hawks. He will sign.
I mean, what team is he going to?
Oh, the Raptors. He will sign a contract.
Which is fine. He's great. I mean, he's going to hit a big three sometime down the line in the playoffs.
That's all they need him for, to hit a couple threes.
Just facilitate speed on the floor. Don't let the offense get too crazy. Don't let guys get too many interrupted turnovers. You know, like, he's good at that. I was about to say Jeremy Lin's stats never do him justice because he holds the ball at tempo. He dictates the speed that his team plays at. So, you know, he's like a good bench point guard who can stop a high scoring run from the other team by holding the ball for a long time. If you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
Other than that, I know Fred VanVleet of the Raptors is out for about 3 weeks. Hurt his left thumb. I know that's why the Raptors
have to play a little point guard.
Jeremy Lin will probably get a little bit of playing time. Josh Hart will be out through the whole All-Star break with a right knee injury.
And he's on the Lakers, right?
Yes.
He made the All-Star team?
No, he's just out through the All-Star break.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, I think that's about it.
You want to talk about just your beef with these baseball players not signing, and then we'll wrap it up?
Yeah, that sounds good. You guys hear mine and Maddie's displeasure, past few weeks especially, that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper have not signed yet, especially since it's been, about 5 days since Real Muto signed? Maybe three or 4 days?
It's ridiculous.
So, training camp for a lot of the American League teams, pitchers and catchers reported yesterday, Sunday, February the 10th.
Yeah.
A lot of teams report tomorrow and Wednesday, the 13th and 14th.
It's ridiculous.
You're telling me some of these guys haven't signed yet?
Well, I was saying, like, if you don't sign by January 15th, you got to sit out all of April.
And I even fucking doubled down on you saying that if they don't sign by the week before training camp, they should just sit out the whole year.
Well, because
you got to think about the business of baseball. The people who buy season tickets, athletes' faces are printed on the season tickets. They're printed on the flyers. They're printed on the cups. The media team has to do promo videos. The front office has to do bobblehead nights and giveaways and road trips and team meetings and pictures and sponsorships. And there's a whole business side, endorsements to what these baseball players have to do. So to not know what team you will play for and to drag it out like this in a – the word immature may not be right.
Because it's about money.
And I mean, yeah, it is about money, but I know this is very easy for me to sit here and do on my fucking $30,000 a year salary.
But, Cohen, I'll tell you this, though, man.
What's the difference between $115 and $112 million? Like, what are we sitting here?
You gotta ask Bryce Harper because that's what he's waiting on, and that's the sad thing because I think what happened this offseason is a lot of these owners were like, you know, I don't really like Machado or Harper. They're not really like team guys.
They're smarmy.
Yeah.
Little guys who Manny Machado is outspoken as to say that he doesn't beat out ground balls.
Yeah. So let me just finish this point. So they're not getting. It's not like every other year where somebody's like, well, some team is dumb enough to throw these guys ridiculous amount of money. Nobody is.
Well, there have been two teams, the Padres and the White Sox.
Let me finish. So the owners are like, we're not going to do it this year. We're not going to overpay these guys. And their agents are going, somebody will. Just wait. Somebody will. And they haven't yet. So it's a game of chicken. It's a crazy game of chicken right now.
God, I'm on the side of chicken that I think someone will do it.
They will. Of course they will, because they're going to be like, you know what? We can really have Bryce Harper here.
And, I mean, maybe even, like, you can drive down the price a little bit because you waited so long, you know, like.
But that's the thing, and you can't because they're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting for somebody to buckle. It's damn, chicken, dude. It's chicken.
I don't. This is. It's one thing if it was just Bryce Harper or Machado doing this, but it's both of them at the same time. They're kind of like playing off of each other, seeing who's going to sign first and, you know, like who's going to go where. Oh, well, if he goes to the Phillies and I'm going to go to the White Sox because we'll be in separate conferences, you know, like we'll be in separate leagues.
I mean, why would you pay Bryce Harper a lot of money when he's not supposed to be a great team guy? And the last year when your team is loaded, you didn't even make the playoffs and you just shit the bed as a team.
Never won a first round series with
exactly.
They are the LA Clippers.
So what's going to make him your team better when it hasn't made the Nats better?
It's a tough fit. I'm not going to lie to you. Everyone that tries to say he should come to the Braves, I think we got three outfielders and I'm not paying $240 million on 10 years. For a guy who hit .245 last year.
Yep.
And I mean,
he's not a good team guy.
And we know this is Bryce Harper. He's one of the best players in the league, but it's just like you're saying, he's not a great team guy. The Braves have a lot of young talent. It's hard to fuck up the mojo. And the way that sports in general is going nowadays is that most locker rooms are about 3-4 years younger than they usually would be in the old days. Yep. Because of just the youth and exuberance of youth, the youth movement that's going on in pro sports, just strictly because of rookie contracts and the financials of this, it really would disrupt the progress to bring Machado or Harper in, for better or for worse. I'm not saying it would ruin what you built for your team, but it would disrupt the progress no matter what, for better or for worse.
Sounds good, brother.
All right, before we go, training camp, pitchers and catchers, most are reporting tomorrow. Some reported Sunday. Some will report Wednesday. Matty Goldberg, you going to try to make a Arizona spring training trip?
No, I just want the weather to warm up, and I'll be excited when baseball starts.
There's your ticket for warm weather, Arizona. Was it Scottsdale?
I wish, brother. I wish. It's only about 6, 7, 8 hours away, but I will not be making a trip.
Is that far away? I would thought it'd be closer, honestly.
Closer?
Yeah, I would have thought it'd be like 4 or 5 hours.
6 hours.
Damn.
6, 7 hours.
Yeah, our buddy Harrison Coburn from Sports Talk ATL hit me up today and asked if I was interested in going.
Where? Florida?
Yeah. What is it, around Orlando or whatever?
For the Braves?
Kind of next to Disney. Yeah,
yeah, why not? But why would you – I mean, if you want to go to Florida, but waste your money on something else. Vegas, brother.
There's no Vegas in Florida.
Yeah, but go to Vegas and use that money for Vegas. That's my point.
And you know me and Harrison, we would rather watch Ronald Acuna's little sister sit next to us in shitty bleachers with 100 degrees than go do something productive.
Well, there you go.
We would rather.
I love you, man.
We would rather see Tim Hudson making grilled cheese in the concession stand.
Is Tim Hudson some sort of coach for the Braves?
No, I'm just naming a Braves player that I think he would know.
I know all the Braves.
Matty Goldberg, what do you got going on comedy-wise?
Nothing. At Matty Goldberg 1 on Twitter, at Matty Goldberg on Instagram. I have some shows coming up later in February and March. I might be back in the East Coast in mid-April, but I'm just trying to stay warm and do my thing, and I'll see you on Thursday and Friday. I love you guys. Get some sleep. Get ready for week 2 of the American Alliance Football League.
See, you're coming around. You're coming around. AAF is starting to get serious. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the Lord of Latkes, the mayor of Matzo Ball Soup, Matty Goldberg. My name's Cohen Hughes. Find me on Instagram, Cohen_Hughes.
You don't do Twitter?
I don't do Twitter because that's the echo chamber for the idiots. I do Facebook to search Cohen Hughes. I do Reddit and all that other dumb shit. I was going to say gay, but you can't say that anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, ghouls and goblins, freaks and geeks. I know, but I was saying it in reference.
Yeah.
This has been episode number 59 of the Daily Degenerate Podcast. Myself and Matty Goldberg, I hope you sincerely enjoyed.
Thank you. Stay warm, everybody.